Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thank you for listening to this podcast. There are many more podcasts available at myfaithradio.com. Your support makes this possible. Thank you.
And a warm welcome into hour two of the afternoon show. I am Than Bennett in for Bill today. This is going to be a great hour, folks, because we are going to build on the two conversations we just had in hour one. We started talking about adoption and how we all have the spirit of adoption and sonship in Jesus Christ. And then we just left off a conversation with Ray Comfort about why Jesus, and heard about his experiences witnessing on behalf of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we're really given some hands-on tools for conversation starters and how to think through different situations. My guest this hour is going to build on that idea, and he's going to put some more tools in our hands. He is John Hopper. He is the executive director of REACH, which includes a focus on creating opportunities for stimulating and respectful conversations for those wrestling with life's big questions. I love that. And particularly relevant to the conversation that we're going to have today, he is the author of a new book. It's called Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. So I'm excited to dig into that. But John, I want to bring you on the air. Thank you for taking some time for us today, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Than. It's great to be with you today.
Excited about the conversation, really excited about the topic of the book. It's the mission, right? This is the mission. We are on earth to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And I think the timing of the conversation is perfect, because all of us should be focused on this, on giving Jesus away. But before we dive into that, I just want to help those who aren't familiar with you. I know you've been on Bill's program before, but I want to help those who aren't familiar with John Hopper know you a little bit better. I know you were a pastor for many, many years. I love this. Your bio shows an impressive academic career. Real long. In fact, in the bio, John, it says that, these are your words, not mine. Your words says that you were in school for, quote, far too long. So that's great. But help us get to know who John Hopper is a little bit.
Yeah. So maybe it was I couldn't find my way, so I stayed in school. So, but actually, I'm sort of a natural learner. I love to sort of find out, you know, how things work and, you know, how to explain them to other people. And so, you know, in terms of giving Jesus away, you know, you certainly come up against a lot of questions. People want to know, you know, why they should believe in the Bible and whether God really exists or things like that. And so, you know, a lot of my studies sort of went in that direction, helping me to answer those questions better and well. And so, yeah, it's been a journey in terms of learning. I also just really feel like as Christians, it's important for us to dig our own well deep enough that we have something to draw out and give to other people. And so, I mean, that's part of been my learning, is just trying to keep my well deep enough to be able to keep lifting some water out to give to thirsty people.
I love it so much, and the academic well is deep indeed. Trinity University, University of Houston, Bethel University, Biola University. I might have missed one in there, but very impressive stuff indeed. Let's get into the book a little bit. You teased it a little bit, but I think all of us can relate to a component of this where we want to share Jesus. We really do. We love him, that we want to give our life for him, but we either don't know how to do it, or maybe we're scared, maybe we're nervous, but there's always something that is threatening to hold us back. And so I know you wrote the book to help with that, but maybe let's start with some of those obstacles. What do you think is holding us back, and what are you trying to help us get over?
Well, I think there's a number of things that sort of get in our way. I mean, one's there's just a sense of inadequacy, like, really me? Like, do I really know enough? What if people ask me questions I don't know? I'm not really great with my words. You know, we can have all those kinds of just inadequate sorts of feelings. And so we have to help people sort of work past that. I think that's really important. And you know, I think when we look in scripture, what can be a real encouragement to us is that we look and we see just a parade of inadequate people. So, there's Moses, who's, the writer of the first five books of the Bible, right? And he's the spokesperson for Israel. And yet when God calls him, he says, I can't do this. I can't speak. You know, you're going to have to get somebody else. And, so Aaron is sort of drawn into the picture at that point in time. But I think we all have that sense of inadequacy. And I think that's actually a plus. It's not a negative. I think if we had it all together, I think we'd probably be brash and it would sort of come across not so well. We need to have this sense of dependence of, Lord, I don't have it. Just help me through this conversation with this person today.
I love that. Inadequacy is actually a plus. We need the sense of dependency. That's very helpful to me, John. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. I want to invite those of you listening, if you have a question along these lines, if you have a question specifically for John about how to more effectively share the gospel, you can text those in to 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484, and we will get to some of those a little bit later in the conversation. John, the Gospels talk about the Lord of the harvest is one of the terms that is used, and how he needs laborers for that harvest. And I'm a country guy, John, so I like the agricultural terminology, right? Sowing and reaping. And I was going through some of your book, and your book uses readying the field and reaping. Talk to us about those various components. Which of those are our responsibility, and how should we be thinking through them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the reasons that people struggle with evangelism is because they see it as just this point in time event. Like, I'm going to go do it. I'm going to drop the bomb on my friend and I've done evangelism. And I think it is really helpful to think of it more in terms of the agricultural motif, as you just mentioned. So that oftentimes we have to clear some rocks in the field first. There's maybe some misconceptions that people have. They've been taught that the Bible is just a myth, for example, that someone who's scientific can't possibly believe in scripture. Maybe they've experienced things with Christians that have not been very Christian at all. And so, people have those rocks there, and sometimes it takes time to sort of help sort of pull those out. Sometimes we share the gospel with someone. This has been my situation many, many times. And there seems to be some understanding, but I come back when I meet with them again, and you can tell they're still kind of trying to figure it out. And it's, did you say that? And, I'll say things again. I'll share a different example. And you can tell people sort of wrestling. And that's the seed growing. That's the seed sort of taking its time to sort of come out of the soil and get a little sunshine. And so if we're expecting to reap all the time, and if we don't reap, we say, I failed, then yeah, we'll probably not do evangelism anymore, right? Because we're just, I'm not seeing fruit every time that I do this. But if we see this sort of agricultural motif, we say, I planted the seed, I watered the seed, I helped take out a rock in the field today. And I'm just going to stick with it, going to stick in conversation with this person, because in time, the Lord can grow something beautiful there.
And I agree with you. I think so much of it is relational. This can be a crutch too, right? We can think, well, I need to cultivate the relationship a little bit more before I share the gospel. I don't want that to be the case. But at the same time, John, I think recognizing that the people that we are doing life with, and those are the people that God's called us to. And if we are expressing genuine care in the way that we relate to people, I think that will be a natural door opener. But let me ask you about this, because I think this is probably an experience that a lot of us have had, where we've stepped out, we've overcome that fear, that hurdle, we've shared the gospel, and the people that we are sharing it with have rejected it. That can be discouraging and kind of push us away from this mission. So your book talks about three barriers that can cause this, that keep people from accepting the offer of Jesus. Can you talk about those three things?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first barrier is, we call this sort of the emotional barrier, so where people have had
just bad experiences with Christianity or with Christians, the church. And those can be firsthand experiences or secondhand experiences. You know, maybe they got invited to a youth group when they were 15 years old and the kids in that youth group made fun of them. And so ever since that point in time, they're sort of leery of Christians, right? So people can have that barrier. And so you could share the gospel with them all the time. And they're just like, I want nothing to do with you, right? So because of that barrier. So there's also intellectual barrier. Sometimes people just have never been given the information, or they've had some questions and nobody's really answered them very adequately. Someone's just said, well, you have to have faith, and they haven't really answered the question that they had. And then I think there's simply what we would call sort of a spiritual barrier, right? So it's the evil one sort of keeping people in prison and people not wanting to give up. You know, even if there's a way out of that prison, like, you know, I'm comfortable here. I don't want to give the keys to anybody else. So, there's three different really barriers that I see in general. And I think there's a way to approach each of those three barriers. And I think it's valuable for us to understand the three ways to deal with those barriers.
And obviously you can't get into all of the details in a short conversation here. I want people to pick up the book. It's called Giving Jesus Away, but maybe just give us, maybe just pick one of them, pick one of those emotional barriers. What would be a thought or two for helping us overcome one of those barriers?
So somebody has an emotional barrier. So they've been bitten by a dog. That's the way I say it, by some Christian or church or something. And so they're leery of dogs. They've been bitten by a couple of dogs, and they don't want any dogs around them. So what becomes incumbent upon us is to become the dog that can be trusted. So they might still not like dogs in general, but if you kind of can get to a point where they say, you know what, I don't really like Christians or the church or whatever, but I like you. You're all right. Okay. Now you're beginning to develop a place where they're going to listen to you. Really, just to share the gospel or to give a defense for the gospel. But if someone has an emotional barrier, and you're just trying to give the answers to questions, they probably aren't going to listen too well because of that barrier. So just really work on becoming that dog that can be trusted. Listen well, be a good friend, do acts of kindness, those kinds of things.
It's so wise. You got to earn their trust. And I think you do that by showing genuine care, by showing the love of Jesus Christ in a way that is accessible, it's relatable, and it makes them want to spend time and be in proximity with you. That's so good, John. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back and pick the conversation up where we're leaving it. If you want to ask a question of John Hopper and maybe grow in the grace of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can text that question in to 877-933-2484. We're going to incorporate some of those questions into the conversation. Again, 877-933-2484. My guest is John Hopper. His book is Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. We will be back with more conversation right after this.
Hi, this is Bill Arnold, host of The Afternoon Show. Do you still believe God is good? I think oftentimes when you share Christ with people, they want to ask two questions. Is God good, and can God be trusted? So do you believe he cares about the condition of you and your life and your soul? And do you think he still answers prayer? Well, I promise Susie Larson is going to help you wake up to the goodness of God and point you towards healing and wholeness. If you're in for an adventure of a lifetime and to be used by God, just text the word good to 877-933-2484 to get encouraging texts, prayers, and devotions from our own Susie right to your phone. Connecting Faith to Life, Faith Radio.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Those are the words of Paul as he wrote to the church at Rome. We're talking with my guest, John Hopper. He's written the book, Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. And one of the things that we talked about in the opening segment was overcoming possible hurdles to sharing the gospel. And one of those is being ashamed of the gospel. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a gift to us, and it's a gift to those that we interact with. So we want to grow in the grace of sharing that gospel, and that's what this conversation this afternoon is all about. Appreciate John being with us. John, I live and I work, or at least I've spent most of my career in a world of public policy, and I've been making the case for a long time now that it is difficult to build a base of support for a policy position, or I mean, this would be true for any kind of a relational idea. It's difficult to build a base of support if you don't have relationships outside of those that you already agree with. And, you know, that's fairly self-evident, right? I mean, if you're just preaching to the choir, so to speak, you're not going to win converts, but you make a similar case for evangelizing in this book. And if someone listening to this conversation realizes that they don't actually have real relationships with those who don't yet follow Jesus, how do you think they change that?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, it's clearly everyone that lives in the United States lives and works near and shops at places where there's plenty of non-Christians, right? So you don't have to look far. You just look out your front door, right? So, but oftentimes Christians do kind of insulate their world, and they develop relationships with people that have similar values, similar ideas. And so they really kind of cut off those relationships. And I think the first thing to say is that we need to be intentional. This is our mission, as you mentioned earlier. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost, and we see in the Great Commission that he's really handed that purpose off to us. And so we don't really have an excuse for not trying to make some effort to build relationships with people. We see Jesus himself sort of going purposely into places where they're not Christians, right? Whether that happens to be Samaria, or whether that's in Zacchaeus's home, right? So, I mean, people are aghast that Jesus went into Zacchaeus's home, right? That tax collector's home, all he's going to have is a bunch of other tax collectors and sinners in his home. And yet Jesus said, I've got to come to your house today, Zacchaeus. And he was very purposeful. And I think we need to be purposeful as well. And so that, you know, that might be again, by just talking with a neighbor outside where they're working in the garden and asking them how, you know, what they're planting and, you know, why they're planting that, and just taking on some interest in what they're doing. It might be taking cookies to somebody. My wife does that an awful lot in our neighborhood, and we have lots of great relationships in our neighborhood. And so we have to be intentional about it. This is our calling. And, you know, people today are just looking for friendly people. So, there might be a few people that kind of push back at your efforts, but most people, they're looking for someone who will take interest in them and be friendly towards them. So they're going to welcome our intentionality.
Yeah, I agree with you. We talked in the last hour how if we truly believe what we say we believe, that there is an afterlife, that there is an eternity, that there is a judgment day, then the least loving thing, the least friendly thing that we would do would be to keep that gift of having the answer to obtaining eternal life to ourselves. And, you know, your wife shares cookies as a way to break the ice. There's maybe no better way, John. No better way than cookies and food to start relationships, right?
That's right. There you go.
I also love what you said about Jesus going to places where the sinners were. You know, there is a certain element of this. Maybe it's not directly analogous. That's reputationally risky, right? And for me, this has been a hurdle. Maybe not even so much going to a place where a sinner is, but confronting someone, or not confronting, but just sharing the truth that I might have a belief that you fall short of a standard that earns you eternal life. That is reputationally risky. Any thoughts about how to navigate that?
Yeah. You know, what I've really found, Dan, is that if we'll first listen well to people, kind of learn their perspective, learn some of the things that they believe, that they'll give us time. They'll respect us sharing with them what we believe. They may not agree with it. They may disagree with it, maybe even passionately sort of thing, but they'll give us some time to share that, and they'll respect it if we've given time to hear their position or what they believe. And so, you know, when I first meet with someone, oftentimes I'm just learning their story. I'm learning, you know, where they grew up and about their family and where they work and those kinds of things. I try to move that conversation then into things sort of beyond surface level, like, boy, how did you deal with that? Or, man, that you obviously have that skill to be able to, you know, take this company to, you know, do this now when it was at this place. And I began to sort of show that encouragement and that interest. And it's amazing how quickly people start to then say, you know, share even deeper things when you show that interest. And then once you've done that, oftentimes I find that the table gets turned without even me trying. In other words, people, because I've shown interest, they say, well, what about you? And what do you mm-hmm. think about this? And how do you deal with that? And there's just real open opportunities. And I've actually been given permission at that point in time to share the gospel and to share the things that I believe. And so oftentimes I think the beginning place is just, you know, to understand where another person is at before sharing, you know, the things that we believe. And if we do that, oftentimes what we share will fit better because mm-hmm. we know what's important to them and we can touch on those things as we share about Christ.
That's so good. And I want to ask a little bit of a follow-up, maybe a couple of follow-ups actually in that vein. But first, I want to go to the text line. If you have a question for John, you can text it in at 877-933-2484. We'll sprinkle these into the conversation. Lindsay texts in this question. John, I want to get your thoughts. I might have a thought or two myself. But Lindsay asks, what's the best way to explain the importance? I assume she means explain to someone you're sharing the gospel with. What's the best way to explain the importance of knowing the Word of God? What do you think?
Well, I mean, one of the ways that I would explain it is that if a person doesn't reveal kind of what's inside of them, so you just know things externally to them. So you might know that they live at a certain house, so they own a certain car, or they even have three kids, but they never tell you what's in their heart and in their mind. You don't really know them very well, right? Mm-hmm. So what we have in the Bible is God's revelation of who he is, right? So we might be able to discern that, hey, this world couldn't have just come about by accident. There must be some creator out there. But how are we going to know that creator? How are we going to know the creator's heart and desires and design, his purpose for things? Well, I think we only know that if God's revealed himself. And so the Word of God becomes it's like a treasure trove. Like, wow, I get to find out. what this creator is like and why he made things and what he intends. What an incredible privilege there. So I think that's the way I would probably kind of go at encouraging someone to look at the Word of God.
Yeah, I love that. I agree with you, John. And I would maybe just add to you, Lindsay, you know, there I love the portion of Scripture where it says you'll be called before kings and judges, and don't worry about what you will say in advance, because I will tell you what to say in the moment. Now, I would quickly follow that up and say, I think the full thread of Scripture says that the way that you are prepared, not worried about, but prepared for those moments, is by hiding his Word in your heart so that he can recall those things that you have memorized and meditated on, and that you will be able in that moment to stand. You've got to know the Word. You've got to know what the truth is in order to be able to respond. But ultimately, I think a sensitivity to how God would have you respond in a given situation is so important. You want to know his character. You want to know his face, but then you want to lean on his wisdom in the moment. So appreciate the question, Lindsay. John, I appreciate your spot on response. If you want to add your voice to the questions for John, again, the number is 877-933-2484. Okay, John, let me dig in a little bit on your last response. Let's say that we've taken that next step. We have established friends with those who don't know Jesus. We've taken them cookies, right? So we're in. We have a relationship with them. We love them. We care for them. We've heeded your advice. We've listened first, so we know a little bit about them. We have given them time. We have a slightly deeper relationship. But when the conversation does turn to faith, and you said a lot of times that will come as a question from them, and I agree with you. I think that's a great opportunity. But when the topic does turn to faith, I know this can be tricky because it can very quickly get taboo, right? You can turn people off. Where do we start there? And I realize this is probably somewhat situationally, but how should we be thinking about in advance when that question comes our way, where we should start this conversation?
Well, you know, I like to sort of understand what my starting point is with the person. So let's say I have built this relationship with someone and, you know, some issue comes up and I might ask the question, or they might ask it as well, but I might ask the question, you know, I know a lot of people when they have to deal with that in their life, that God's really important to them. And would you say God's important to you? Well, that immediately kind of lets me know sort of their interest level there to begin with. And then they say, oh, yeah, God's important to me. I mean, I don't really go to church or do anything like that, but, I'm kind of into God. And I say, well, if you were to describe God, how would you describe God? I want to understand from their viewpoint kind of how they view God. Because if I start talking about God, but they have a different picture in their mind than I have, then we're going to diverge at some point in time. So I'll ask them, so what is your view of God, right? So, and that really helps me. If someone paints a picture, for example, of God just being this loving God who kind of gives out good gifts like Santa Claus or something like that. Oh, I need to really emphasize the holy character of God to this person. But if somebody sort of gives a sense, maybe they grew up in some sort of religious background where God was kind of a shaming God that kind of just always was kind of looking over their shoulder and, you know, hitting them when they did bad, sort of like, oh, I need to really emphasize the loving nature of God here, right? So, because really both of those points are very key to sharing the gospel, right? We can't really even understand the gospel if we don't understand that God is a holy God and does have a standard, but oh, he's so loving and merciful too. And so I like to do a little digging to sort of understand, you know, where people are on that spectrum, because I have found people on both ends of the spectrum to start with. And if I start out with really sort of pushing the holy character of God and they already have this sense of God sort of bearing down on them, then I'm just sort of adding to the weight. I need to even the scales out a little bit. So that's where I'll go. I'll try to understand where they're at, where their understanding is of God. And from that, you know, I'm able to then begin to share about Jesus and how Jesus sort of can help us make us right with God in the midst of God being a loving and holy God.
That's so good, John. I appreciate it. Very helpful in giving us practical advice for broaching the subject of faith with those that we love but don't yet know Jesus. And we're going to go to a short break. We'll pick up the conversation on the other side. But I just want to close this segment by underscoring what John is sharing with us. So much of this mandate, this mission, this invitation to share the gospel of Jesus Christ exists in the space of relationship. We will be more effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will be more effective in offering this beautiful gift to those around us who we love if we are in genuine relationship with people around us, the people that you do life with, the people that you see at the grocery store or at the school or at the supermarket. These are the people that we have the opportunity to reach for Jesus Christ. But as John has reminded us in a variety of different ways, being in relationship, listening first, understanding who they are and what they care about, that is a person that was created by the Almighty God, a person made in the image of God. If we will get to know them a little bit better, we will be more effective and, frankly, more at ease when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. I would close this segment with probably the most famous verse in the world, but it speaks to this subject, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. It is the greatest promise ever, and you possess it. You can share it with those in your world. John Hopper is my guest, and he is helping us understand how to do that more effectively. His book is Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel, and we will have more conversation with him right after this break. It's the afternoon show with Bill Arnold. I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Bill today. My guest is John Hopper. His book is Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. And we are getting some great counsel on how to do this better. This is something I think that all of us as Jesus followers want to do. We want to be good at it. We want to be effective at it. And so many of us feel like we don't have the tools to do that. So the entire show today is about giving us the tools to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And John is helping us out with that. John, I have some questions coming in from listeners. Again, if you want to ask John a question, the number is 877-933-2484. You can text your questions in. But I want to start by kind of following up on where we left the conversation off. You talk in your book about tone and demeanor, and you sort of alluded to this a moment ago. But I just think, I don't know, John, I think a lack of authenticity can be spotted a mile away, right? And if we don't genuinely love people, and I think I might even say if we don't love them to the point of them knowing it's sacrificial, that it's about them, that it's not about us, then it is going to be hard to evangelize. So when you talk about tone and demeanor, I know you said listen first, but help us with those. How do we set the right tone? How do we have the right demeanor?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, sometimes maybe even just in our nervousness, okay, I got to share the gospel with somebody. And so, you know, we just sort of, we come on real strong and you know, you need to believe, because if you don't believe, then you're going to hell and Jesus died for you. And so you need, just like immediately, like walls are sort of kind of going up with the person because of the way that we share that. And so it's just so important that we kind of come in with sort of a sense of humility, that we're really journeyers towards Jesus, and we're asking someone to maybe consider coming with us on this journey to discover more about Jesus. And I think that's really important in terms of keeping our demeanor right. So, you know, today as a believer, I know Jesus much better than I did, say, 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago. So, which would mean that who I was 10 years ago didn't know Jesus as deeply as I did now. So there were things I still needed to learn, right? I'm still on this journey myself, right? So if I have this sort of idea of I'm inviting someone in to sort of be a part of discovering with me Jesus, I think that helps us keep our demeanor right, rather than coming in as the expert. I know what's right, you don't. I need to tell you, I need to straighten you up. As you said, that people just smell that from a mile away, and they're not interested in that most of the time. So again, sort of keeping that sense of humility by asking people to join us in a journey.
Yeah, so agree. Humility is the key to so many aspects of the Christian walk. It really is a character trait of Jesus that maybe should be at the top of the list. We have a listener texting in along the same lines, John. They say, I am not the greatest with words. I can say it in my head and it sounds great, but as soon as I try to witness to people, it doesn't come out as I think it should. I then feel like I am not sharing as good as others. And I am not smart enough. How do I overcome my nervousness and rejection I may get? Maybe let me just give a thought here, John, and then I want to get your thoughts to the listener as well. But I'm going to tack back to what you just said, humility. And a lot of us know, you know, the Romans road, right? Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. I think, John, it's very disarming, and this is right in line with what you were saying, but it shows humility when the question comes, you know, you think I'm going to hell? You think I'm a sinner? Take it on ourselves to say, no, I have been convinced that I am a sinner. I have been convinced that I am lacking a path to eternal life without this free gift that has been offered to me and that I have chosen to accept. I'm not your judge, but I have found this gift that covers my sin. I would like you to take a look at it. I have just found that that is a way to approach it with humility. I'm not your judge, but I am a sinner, and this is something that has helped me. But anything you would add to our listener?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is important to kind of take it on personally. We're not pointing the finger and saying, you know, you're bad, you need a savior. We're telling people, I've recognized that I fall short and I need a savior. But you know, I think one of the ways to for this particular listener, to kind of go into a conversation where you are trying to explain the gospel. Maybe someone's asked you a question, or maybe you've just sort of taken a step forward in sharing Jesus with someone, and you don't feel like you share it real well, at least when it comes out of your mouth. It's just to be able to say right up front, to say, you know, that's a really good question, and I'm going to try to answer it. Sometimes I don't answer it as well as I'd really like to. So if there's anything I say that just doesn't make sense to you at all, or you've got more questions, just stop me and say, but what did you mean by that? And so that sort of just lowers the bar, right? You're not having to come in with saying everything perfectly. You're inviting the person back into the conversation. You're letting them know that, hey, you don't think that you're necessarily explaining it in such a way that everybody should just sort of bow down at that point in time. So it's kind of even going in with that sort of line, I think, can be really helpful, right? It can make you more at ease. It makes the other person more at ease.
Yeah, I love that so much, John. I really do. I'm taking notes as you write, because this will be useful. Even just saying, I don't have all the answers, right? This is a relationship with Jesus Christ that lasts over the course of a lifetime and into eternity. I'm on a journey. I'm growing in this relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to share with you what I know right now, but you know, I'm not the ultimate answer here. I want to introduce you to the person who is, but I am still learning to know him more. So I love that. I really appreciate that. Let me ask about the other side of that coin. We've been talking about what to do. We've been talking about how to get the courage up to share Jesus with our friends and with our acquaintances, and sort of knowing how to do that. In your research and in your writing, what are some things that maybe we should avoid? What are things that trip us up, or what are maybe some common mistakes that we're prone to make, and that if we think about them in advance, maybe we would be able to avoid them? Anything come to mind?
Well, I mean, one, I think we can try to provide an answer too quickly before we've really understood the question. So I sort of think of a time when you know, somebody asked me, I just want to know, you know, why we're here. And I thought that he was asking sort of a more existential question, like, what's the purpose? Like, why are we here? What are we supposed to do? But I asked him, I said, that's a really great question. I said, do you mind me asking how you would answer that question right now before I share with you anything? And so he said, well, you know, I take these science classes and things, and I just don't, you know, kind of understand sort of biologically how we're here and how we got here. Well, that's a very different question than what I thought it was originally, right? So, and had I not asked the question back to him, like how would he answer it, I would have answered the wrong question, right? So, I think it's important for us to understand the question that's being asked. And so, you know, so you can ask a question of a question just to get some more clarity so that we do answer the question properly there. So I think the other mistake that we can make is that we sort of give our peace, but we don't invite the other person back into the conversation. This goes a little bit back into what I said earlier, but if you'll share the gospel, even just one piece at a time, like if you talk about, you know, the Bible really says that we all fall short, you know, that we've all sinned. And we sort of explain that a little bit. And then we pause there and we say, does that make sense to you? Or does that seem odd or weird, or, you know, at odds with your own thinking? And we stop there. If we just kind of keep going on plowing ahead, to you know, the forgiveness and reconciliation is only made possible through Jesus Christ. And, you know, you need to respond in faith. And you, it's like, well, you've lost him already at the send part, right? Sort of thing. So, so if you'll just along the way, as you're sharing things, just invite the person back in. Does that make sense to you? Or, you know, did I explain that well enough for you? And then you're, it's again, it stays a dialogue that way. And it's not just you preaching to the other person. And I think that's really helpful.
Yeah, that's good. I think there's a temptation to rush everything out, right? You've got it memorized, you've got it down, and they've got to know all of this all at once when in reality, to be able to consume it, probably bite-sized portions. And, you know, I don't know, John, I think maybe even just interjecting, even if it's not a moment for sharing the full gospel, just interjecting into your vernacular things like, you know, God's been good to me, or I'm so grateful for Jesus in my life. Things like that, that sort of plant the seed for a moment to return to later. So good thoughts. We're gonna take a short break here, one more break, and then wrap up the conversation with John. Got a few more questions I want to ask about really how we gather the courage and then gather in advance the tools that we will need to share this greatest gift that we possess. Again, my guest is John Hopper. His book is Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. I love that finding joy part. We all need to share the gospel. We want to share the gospel, but we get to share the gospel. That is our job here on earth, and we are blessed beyond measure that is the mission and the mantle that we've been given. We'll be back with more with John Hopper right after this.
When you sponsor a child in need, you change their life. Your child learns that God loves them more than they can imagine and that He has special plans for their life. Your child gets help with school and is taught leadership, life skills, and how to overcome poverty and succeed. Your child gets nutritious food and vital medical care that often saves lives. You might not be able to change the world, but for one child, you can change theirs. Meet the kids, find your child at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the afternoon show. I am Than Bennett, sitting in for Bill today, having a really great conversation with John Hopper. He's the author of the new book, Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel. Really grateful for this resource. I encourage you to check it out so that you can grow in the grace of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. We have lots of things on our plate. I know that we all do, but this is why we are here. We are here to share the good news of the relationship that we have found with Jesus Christ with others. And so there is nothing that we can invest in that would be more important or pay more lasting and eternal rewards than equipping ourselves to share the gospel. I think this book will be a way that you can do it. And I'm grateful to John for writing it. John, I've got a few questions for you, but I want to ask about that title, because every time, and I've read it a few times here, every time I read it, I actually stop on those two words in the subtitle, finding joy. And I'm just wondering how you landed there. And when I think about it, I think that might actually be the secret sauce here. We all want to share it, but if we have joy in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, I bet we do it more, right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think I wrote it because I think people think of it as a scary venture. And I'm not saying that at times, you know, we aren't putting ourselves out there and there may be a risk to a relationship if we say something. I mean, that certainly can be the case. But for me personally, my overwhelming experience has been that as I've ventured into sharing Christ with other people and begin to see them to the lights to come on and for a heart to change and for a life to move in a different direction and for people to start following Jesus. It's like, there's an incredible joy there, right? So like, wow, look at that. Look what God has done in that person's life. And to sort of be a part of that is just incredible. Now, again, there might be some times where, you know, maybe get dinged up a little bit, you know, and sharing with a person or two, but by far, in my experience, there's been far more joy associated with sharing Jesus and seeing him work in people's lives than a rejection or a strained relationship.
I love that so much, and I even love the honesty and the vulnerability there. That there might have to be a pursuit of it, right? We might have to work at it a little bit. We might have to find it. It might not be joyous in every moment or right at the beginning. It might be obedience in some moments, but we can and we should, and I think we even will find joy if we make a habit of it. Here, let me ask you this, because all of these ingredients come together, and we share the gospel. Hopefully some receive and we're aware of that. Others are going to reject it. And like you, I think you said, you might get dinged up a little. They might reject it forcefully. How do we know what success is? How should we measure, whether or not we're accomplishing that end goal? And how do we sort of, I guess I would describe it, how do we balance the responsibility to share against maybe a temptation to measure, well, how many said yes and how many said no? What does success look like?
Yeah. Well, I do think it's really important for us to remember that the results are up to God, right? So, even ultimately, right, if we tend a field really well, to going back to sort of our earlier agricultural picture, we didn't really make the seed, right? God put what needed to be in the seed. And ultimately, he's the one that's shining sunshine down. And he's the one that's going to keep a flood from coming through the field or whatever the case might be. So, yeah, there's a part for us to play, but the results are up to him. And so we can rest in that fact. Now, we don't want to use that understanding that the results are up to God to be lazy, God will take care of it, so I shouldn't do anything. But we do need to rest in that. Now, in terms of what does success look like? For me, I just want people in any conversation that I have to move closer to Jesus. Now, that's true even if someone's a believer already. I want them to take steps being closer to Jesus, right? So understanding him more, following him better, more closely, more intimately. And so for the person who may start out far away, who's just like angry and, I don't even want to approach anything with, regarding Christianity. If I even start a friendship with them and there starts to be some friendly dialogue, I've actually helped move the needle a little bit. Right? Mm-hmm. So, and now if that person then begins to take interest or to ask questions, like, okay, so I moved the needle a little bit more. Oh, we've started to have some gospel conversations and they've asked some questions, that I need to answer. I'm moving the needle more. And so I think success isn't necessarily, right, taking a sort of a hardened, atheist perhaps, and moving them all the way to this incredible Christ follower. And we only seek success when we've gotten there. We have to sort of see sort of the success on a sort of a daily, sort of a shorter timetable to kind of keep us motivated even, right? I mean, if you're looking at that field, that agricultural field, it's like, oh, the shoot is starting to come out now. Okay, so now the leaves are developing, right? I think we would be satisfied with that. We're moving towards where we want to go. And I think we can be satisfied with that as well in our conversations with other people.
I really love that. I love the idea of reminding ourselves that this is a team game. This is something that we do together as followers of Jesus, and we don't have to take a presentation of the gospel from the opening pitch to the conversion. There might be a handoff. There might be just little deposits on the way that we are responsible for, and ultimately the timing is up to God, but it is up to us to labor in the field. John, I'm a bit of a baseball guy, and it actually helps me to think back to my baseball days and to think that the very best hitters in the game get out 7 out of 10 times, right? And yet those are the best. Those are the elite. I'm not saying that you're gonna be unsuccessful 7 out of 10 times sharing the gospel, but ultimately, whatever that number is, that shouldn't be the arbiter of whether or not we return to it. John, we've only got a minute or two left here in the broadcast, but I wanted to ask one final question. I think a lot of us, probably all of us, want this to be part of our life's mission. We need to put things into place that help us remember to make that a regular rhythm. What would you say to that person that wants to do this more consistently, but needs some ways to make sure that this is a part of their life?
I think there's no other way than you've just got to sort of purposely schedule it, really. So, and so, you know, I'll tell people, say, hey, do you go to lunch? You know, like you work and you go to lunch. Oh yeah, I go to lunch. I said, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pick out two people, and I want you each month to take out one of those two people to other unbelievers, so that at the end of the year, you've gone out with both of those people six times, right? So, because you've traded, but 1 month you went with one month to the other. I said, all that's costing you is one lunch a month. That's it. That's all you have to do. One lunch a month. But you can go an awful long way in six conversations over a year with someone. Now, that's, again, just scheduling one lunch a month. And you're probably already doing that lunch anyway. It's not taking you any more time whatsoever. So, but you're being purposeful about it. And I think you can do that in other ways as well, with neighbors or, you know, with friends. You can just say, hey, I'm going to make sure that this week I reach out to somebody, some family member. I'm going to make a touch. I'm going to have a conversation. And we've got to schedule it in to see the results that I think we all hope to see in the lives of others.
So good, so practical. Very, very grateful for that advice. John, thank you for giving us a few minutes of your time today, and thank you for writing this book.
Oh, it's been great to be with you today, Than.
The book is Giving Jesus Away, Finding Joy in Sharing the Gospel, written by John Hopper. I want to close with Acts 4:12. It says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is, of course, the name of Jesus Christ. He lives in you, and he wants you to share that name with those around you. Go with God today and share him with someone in your world.
Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.